Josephine in my flying machine. Going on, she goes.
You've tuned in to 96.7 on your FM dial. This is Hugh Cruzell, and the program is QOL. QOL, Quality of Life. I had the good fortune of going to Sault Ste. Marie recently, and I visited something that I haven't been to in absolute years. I don't know why it took years to, you know, there was COVID and there was all those other things. And Sault Ste. Marie is about 3 hours away from Sudbury, which is doable. I mean, you can make it a day trip even if you really wanted to. But Sault Ste. Marie features many, many things, including this one. And we have Robert Downs with us today from the you better say it because I might get it wrong.
Canadian Bushplane Heritage Center.
See, I would have said museum, but it's not just a museum. It's more of a living thing, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Well, I mean, there's us, there's the history, and we have things like Entomica, the insectarium, in here as well. So there's more than just a museum. There's a lot of, I think life is a good word for it. It's a very lively place.
Well, and our definition of museum has changed so much, hasn't it?
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Well, you and I are not exactly contemporaries. You don't have... Well, but a museum was something, you know, like a library. Shh, don't touch, behind glass. Agreed, we probably shouldn't be touching many of the things that are in your collection, though, either.
Well, yes and no. We do have... we actually allow quite a lot of touching, which is quite nice because the kids love it. They get to go in the planes. They get to run around. They get to experience things that a lot of museums, they don't. I mean, I can even speak to my own kids. Years back, we went to the Ottawa Aviation Museum, and it's a lovely place, but you can't touch anything.
No, they've used a fuel or canvas material to sort of fence off the planes, which, well, actually, you're right. I was able to crawl into your planes, and I even watched some videos that were projected onto what would look like your windscreen.
Exactly. And that's, I think, the big draw for everybody is we're a hands-on museum. You know, not only the planes, again, Entomica Insectarium, you can go in and you can actually hold bugs and learn about them and interact with them. And the same with our planes. You get to go inside. Sure, there's some things we have to protect and be, you know, mindful of. There's a lot of history here, a lot of antiques and a lot of wonderful things that we want to protect, but there's a heck of a lot you can touch, which is amazing.
So let's roll back the clock. When was the Canadian Bushplane Heritage Center opened?
It all began in 1989. It was originally, now I'm going to get some of this wrong because I'm not the greatest historian on planes, but the MNR, I believe, used to have this building, and this was a proper airplane hangar was in use, and it began out of a few volunteers wanting to save the historical records, the documents, the various things about bush planes, and to grow it from there. So it started very, very small. I think it was just a small corner of this building at that time. And then eventually when plane operations were moved to the airport, it became a whole other thing here. And they ended up taking over the space and starting to fill it with planes and stuff.
Well,
and history.
It's really quite unusual in some ways because we don't think of, I mean, I do, you do, many of us do, but the vast majority of Canadians and indeed the world would not go like, they'd be like, where's the runway? Where's the, and in fact, your runway was the St. Mary's River, right?
It was, exactly.
So you've tuned into 96.7 on your FM dial. You might be listening to Radio Garden. That's a great tool. I don't know if you've ever used it on your, on your phone, on your laptop. Radio Garden, just Google it. It's access, a key to the radio world and the whole world, truly. CKLU 96.7, CKLU.ca, part of Laurentian University in many ways. And certainly because of that, we go out and search for ideas, inventiveness, entrepreneurs, and indeed things like today's guest, Robert Downs, who's at the Canadian Bushplane Heritage Center. You know, it is a building that might have easily been torn down.
It's true. And in fact, it's a very old building and it needs some work. Our roof is a little leaky, I will say.
Right.
But But it was, I know it changed hands at one point. It was up for sale, and luckily Jack Purvis, who runs the marina next to us here.
Yes.
He purchased it, and so he's our landlord, and he's, because of him, we were able to stay and be here, and because we don't really want to go anywhere, because there's not too many places you can find that can house this many planes.
How many planes do you, I knew you're leading me on, how many do you have?
I believe we have 26 altogether, 26. Currently.
And there's some in states of repair.
Yes. We have volunteers that give their time and their expertise to repair planes. A lot of the planes in here that look absolutely wonderful now were repaired back in the day by our volunteers. We have survived and grown this much on honestly on the backs of people who really, really care. Bush planes and bush plane history and all of that, and you see it every day in our volunteers, our board members, our staff. Like I said, I'm fairly new to this whole thing, and I'll be honest, I didn't know that much about planes when I got here, and it's really become a wonderful place to be.
Every city in Northern Ontario has one of these bush plane heritage centers, don't they?
I don't think so.
You're the only one I know of. And yet, if you think about it, and I apologize for stopping you a minute ago, I'm going to return to that. But this is a vital piece of the Canadian, exploring the Canadian North.
Well, and it still is. I mean, we have plenty of places in this province and other provinces you can't get to. There's no roads. There's no, there's nothing but lakes and forest. And the only way to get there is with a bush plane. And this, the development of our country, the expansion of our lives, everything, the fact that we're up here has a lot to do with bush planes and the, I'll say insane people who flew them and developed ideas and created things it literally was on a wing and a prayer sometimes. Some of these stories are amazing. These people have tried so much and created so much along the way just to be able to fly to places that no one was able to go to.
Well, why is it not called the Canadian Floatplane Museum?
Well, because bush planes cover all sorts of things. There's float planes. There's skis on the planes. There's a lot of them have wheels. A lot of them could land in certain areas. Floats were a huge factor because we in our country here, we have tons of little lakes everywhere. It's an easier place to land on water than it is to try to find a place to land in the bush without trees. But at the same time, there's many different kinds. There's a lot of these planes went up to the Arctic and there's nothing up there but ice to land on. So you got to have skis. The pontoons won't do you any good. So it's a huge sort of range of as much as bush planes are one type of plane, there's a range within that make up what a bush plane is.
Now, you were going to, and I apologize again for interrupting, you were going to tell a little bit of your history and how you came to be part of this.
Weirdly enough, my history is in theater. I'm a playwright, and I've been worked in front of house in theater for many, many years. My wife grew up here in Sault Ste. Marie, and we went through COVID like everybody else did and sort of looked around and realized we have no family around us. We were in Kingston. And so we decided we were going to get closer to family. We looked around at everybody and realized that there was a good chunk of family up here in the Sioux and thought, you know what, let's go give it a try. And we came up here. Yeah.
And housing prices must be much better.
Oh, yes. Oh, we did. I will say we scored amazingly. What we got for our house in Kingston versus what we paid here.
and then, of course, you leveraged your warm personality, your engaging personality to find a place here. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it is. Well, I it's funny. When I came up here, we looked around the city and I really said, that museum is probably the one place I would want to work. And it didn't happen right away. I worked somewhere else first, but then I ended up getting the job here, and it's been absolutely wonderful. It's not that far off from what I did in the theater world, because here I'm the merchandise and customer care manager.
Yeah,
I deal with the public, I deal with the merchandise, and I deal with people and their experience basically here. And it's the same idea as what I did, and absolutely love it.
And I'm sure it's not always static. I mean, many of these displays would have on weekends people working away at them. There are videos to watch. There are things to do. You're right. You're front of house. And again, tell us your official title. Customer experience, what?
Merchandise and customer care manager.
Customer care. Okay. Well, I'm going to tell you, when I opened the door to the Canadian Bush Plane Heritage Center, Robert was very, very welcoming. And let's touch on this, because I think it's early enough and late enough in the program to say the benefit for Science North members exists.
It's huge. Yes. We have a lovely reciprocal agreement with Science North. And that is, if you have a membership here, you can get into Science North, and vice versa. If you have a membership for Science North, you can get into the Bush Plane for free. And we're working on some more reciprocal agreements with a few other places, and joining up a couple of organizations this year, I believe. So we're trying to open ourselves up to even more museums that we can share with. But the biggest one is Science North, because we're pretty much the closest facilities to each other. And we actually have a lot to do with Science North. They support a number of things with us, and they bring quite a few exhibits in as well, which we love. So, you know, we owe a great debt to them, and we really want to support them as well. So if you're a member of Science North, please come on out. It's worth it. You get in for free. Absolutely wonderful place to see, and very different from Science North, just to be clear.
Science North and Dynamic Earth, that's what we probably should say. Yes.
Yeah. True, yes.
Well, you know, maybe it's not so different. They used to have a wonderful I don't know what to call it, but there was a float plane involved. There was a landing somewhere. It was an experiential theater. You actually got sprayed as the float plane hit the water or whatever happened, and then it utilized a lot of, well, 3D glasses for one. So, yeah, you might not have experienced that one. But those of us who've been around since the beginning of Science North will remember in the cavern that there was this experience. So let's go to who utilizes your services. Is this a standard feature in the curriculum of the schools in your neighborhood?
It is quite a bit. We get, I believe, there's a lot of grade six curriculum, which is aviation based, and we have an amazing education coordinator who regularly does stuff with classes that come in. We just had one a few days ago, actually. We get schools from all throughout the area coming in and learning, and different ages too, because some of them just come for a field trip because it's a wonderful place, but some come for specific curriculum based learning. And we can pretty much provide anything for any grade level, any sort of idea you have. We even have next week we have a group of homeschoolers coming. They're all different ages. We've managed to organize a program so we can entertain and educate them all within the same time frame. We're sort of dividing up, and some people are taking some people, and some people are taking kids here and there, and we're gonna make it work, because that's what we do. We want to entertain, and we want to educate at the same time.
One thing to see the planes and see the evolution, because that's another thing that's captured in this. But I have to tell you, what I find intriguing is this sort of Jenga-like, maybe that's not a good example, but how it's all fit together, because there's tails overlapping with wings, because spaces, you just can't park one and then park the other one over there. You've got only so much space. There's like a planogram to fit it all in, right?
Oh, yes. And we're actually, I know our curator is looking at moving some of the planes this year.
That's going to be fun. Itself,
Just to move them at all takes a planning process to make sure you're doing it right. You're not hitting anything else. Yeah, because I wasn't here for the Tetrising in of the.
That's planes, the right word.
But it's quite something to see, if nothing else. And we get asked all the time, especially from kids, when they look at the CL-215 yes. water bomber, like, how did you get that in here? Well, I'll tell you, it came in pieces. There's no. It would not have fit in here.
You're absolutely right. Tetris is a better example. Mine, Jenga is when things fall apart.
We don't want that. But I'll tell you, with the planning to move some of the planes, the one thing that's not moving is the CL-215, because if you've seen it, it's a massive, massive plane.
And it held. It's a water bomber, which is a perfect segue into what I wanted to ask you about education. Do some of the classes come in and talk about fire and the role of fire and ecology, fire in the ecology and fire in the creation of habitat, healthy habitat?
Yeah, definitely. Well, I mean, first and foremost, we have our wildfires movie, which is about 20 minutes long and shows how it works with water bombers coming into a fire in Pickle Lake. I think it was in 2011 that they filmed it. And so we have that incredible piece of film. And we also, part of our talk when we go through with, especially with the kids, is the evolution of water bombing and how it began. And you can see on our beaver and our otter, the beginnings of water bombing with the cylinders that they scoop up water and drop them, but they can only carry so much. And, you know, how it grew into where we get to with the CL-215, which even that is outdated now, but is sort of the first beginning of real water bombing, where they could come along and scoop up a lake, and not a whole lake, but scoop up a good chunk of the lake and drop it. Well, and there's a whole story there we can get across as well in our sort of evolution of the bush plane and water bombing, because they kind of go hand in hand.
Well, so. This does lead, you know, I guess a lot of things segue into other things. It's one thing to have the past. Are there plans to acquire new pieces for the collection?
I believe so. Right now we're in a situation where we're working. We have a very packed archive at the moment. And when I say packed, I mean very packed. Mm. So our curator is currently working on sorting that out, getting that to a new state. We're actually going to be building a bit of a new archive area in the museum and opening up, trying to get through all the stuff we have first, because we have to sort of deal with, we get a lot of people wanting to give us stuff, which is amazing, and we don't want that to stop. But at the same time, we have to be very careful with what we take because of space and because of what it is. So we're working on kind of getting that sorted, getting our books in order, and then we'll start branching out a little more. And
well, that's again
I
another.
Think they're definitely looking for more stuff.
That's again another reason that I know you sort of probably were a little puzzled that I didn't actually shop at your magasin. I was so tempted to buy a model or do whatever, but you know, our houses are full of things. Our kids have got so many things to, and for me, they're not kids anymore, but I looked at your collection of merchandise and I went, oh, look at that. I want that. I want that. It's a fun collection of things. Have you had a role to play in what's for sale?
I have. Almost everything here now, because I've been here long enough, has been chosen by me. There's a few things that were here before me, but it's actually one of the most fun parts of my job. And to the point that my kids see some of the stuff I bring home and their catalogs for toy stores and various things. And they just look at me and they're like, what do you do? I'm like, I'm shopping for work.
Christmas!
So it actually is a lot of fun, because you get to be a kid yourself and think about, you know, what would I like, and what would, you know, what do I think is cool and neat, and if I think it's neat, someone else will think it's neat. And I also really rely on the staff, my staff and the other staff in the building, for ideas, because, you know, one person's opinion of something isn't always.
Oh, I'm sure yours is just perfect.
So, yeah.
But that is a lot of fun. I mean, I looked at it and went, oh, there's build your own planes. There's puzzles. Do people come and shop, since I mentioned Christmas and birthdays and whatever, and go, let's go shopping here, or let's take the kid and let them choose you know, to a certain degree.
I've spent the last couple of years really, really pushing that the idea that we are, while we're a museum, we're also just a store you can come to as well and just shop, which is great. We had to get the word out there, and I think we've done a pretty good job now that you don't have to pay to come into the museum to go to the gift shop. You right. just come on in. And around Christmas time, especially, we get a lot of people just like, hi, I'm just here for the gift store. We're like, go right ahead.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
And the last couple of years, we've had an auxiliary store for Christmas in the mall, the station mall here, just to sort of not. I mean, yes, of course, we want more sales. But one of the big pushes of that store was just to make people aware and to remind them like, hey, we're here and don't forget, you know, so.
Well, now you've gone there. So I have to ask this question. Local participation in the museum, in the collection, you mentioned about donations, but you know, is it, and of course people are not traveling like they used to. During this period, you've been relying on the local population, but the intention is to once again capture Canadians traveling across country or within regions.
Oh yeah, definitely. We do really well in the summertime especially, but we get a fair amount of people all year round. But the summertime especially, and this past year has been great because we've been really focused on, or well, I shouldn't say we're focused, but the country has been focused on promoting its own and saying, hey, you know, we'll give you rebates if you just travel in Canada and just check out. And that's been wonderful for us. We've gotten plenty of people passing through. We're you know, the beauty of the Sioux and Sudbury as well is you're kind of on the main road through, you know, if you're traveling anywhere across the country. And so we tend to be a stopping point, which is wonderful. And we get to hear amazing stories from people. We had a family canoeing through Canada back in the summer, and they stopped in. They were tenting along the way, and just I can't even fathom doing that, but they were all in, and they were happy to be here. And you know, we've been getting back. Like, this last summer was really good. It's coming back, and you can really feel that, you know, Canadians are wanting to be out. But yeah, money is tighter, so people aren't traveling as far, which actually can be good for us because people are staying in country. I feel like we're kind of back where we were before all the horror happened.
What about our cousins to the south? I mean, when you stand at your facility, you look across at America. There it is. Do Americans come and visit?
Yes, very much so. We are one of the prime tourist destinations for the Americans. We do some advertising down there. There's a lot of word of mouth. We get a lot of in the summer, we get a lot of cruises coming through, which stop either side. Granted, it's easier to get here if you stop on the Canadian side, but you know, they can still get through. We get busloads of people coming in to check us out. We get people from all sorts of places coming up here. It's amazing. We even get, in the summer, we had some people fly in on their float planes from Europe. And I don't know how they got here. I guess they made little stops along the way, but they were just touring around. The beauty of us being on the water is we can actually have planes land on the water and come visit us, and we get
sounds
that
to me like a party.
Yeah. Well, we have a number of professional businesses that rent a dock each year with us, but then we also have just the random people stopping in because they're out flying, and we're a place that they can stop, and it's quite something.
That's very interesting. You know, displays are in English only, but you could probably have an interpreter if somebody came from, say, Japan or Malaysia or.
We are actually working on that right now. We got a grant, and we are developing a virtual tour for two reasons. One, for that very fact, for language, so we can do a tour in a number of different languages. Because yes, we get quite a lot of international tourists who may not speak English at all, and we're trying our best. But yeah, we're working on that. The other aspect is we're trying to make it more accessible, because while you can go into the planes, they do require steps, and not everyone is able to do steps. So the virtual tour is also being designed so you can you can go in without having to go in.
But by and large, your facility is accessible. I mean, there's ramps.
Oh, yeah, sure. But there's little things that you would miss out if you couldn't, you know. It's really neat to be able to go inside the plane. And if you can't go in, then it's you know, not quite the same. So we're trying to recreate that experience for people who may be unable to do that.
Well, aren't you lucky to have found such a wonderful place to work? Aren't we lucky that you love what you do? And in these last few minutes, Robert Downs is the, let's give us the proper title again, experience?
No. Merchandise and customer care manager.
I want to put experience in there somewhere because you really do provide the experience. You're the face when we come in, the smiling face that brings us to that decision. Yes, we'd like to see this facility, and thank you for welcoming us. Robert Downs, what a pleasure to talk to you and to visit. What about a website? Can we go or just Google?
Oh, yeah, definitely. www.bushplane.com. Nice and simple.
It's very, very straightforward. Hours of operation?
We are currently in our off-season hours, which is 10 to 4, and that's 7. Oh, no, sorry, we're closed Mondays, 10 to 4, Tuesday to Sunday. And then in the summertime, we're open, I believe we're open 9 to 5 every day.
9 to 5. Perfect. Love it. Well, I would encourage anybody who is passing through, going to, being in the Sioux, visiting family, visiting relatives, you could be, just make the Bush Plane Heritage Center your destination. Robert Downs, thank you so much for being our guest today on CKLU 96.7.
Thank you so much.